This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hey everybody, it's Aaron over at the Norris Group, and some of our VIP subscribers are with us today as we tape the radio show. And for the foreseeable future, what we'll probably do is Dad and I have a presentation with an update of what's going on our website, thenorrisgroup.com/resources. We are cultivating a list of resources for real estate investors and realtors, giving you direct information at the national and state level of what to follow, so you can sort of weed through the stuff that's happening in the media. They've played pretty nice this week, but it's sort of hard to read through and there's so much going on. So on the website, you're going to find everything from IRS resources. So one of the things we're following is 1031 exchanges, getting dates changed, taxes have changed. Also at the state level, the California Association of Realtors, the California Apartment Owners Association, things to talk about with renters and what not to, some things that you might not have thought about. So with that, for those who are with us live on the line today, you are free to ask questions and we will just sort of, this is just an interview style. So as of yesterday, last night, California is on a little bit of a lockdown. So a shelter in place besides emergency services, which is pretty interesting. So, well, welcome, Dad.
Yeah, what a day to have the interview, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure you are getting just as many calls and emails as I am. I've been through something similar with 9/11, and I will never forget. There was many people at the time who didn't like our sitting president, and it was amazing to see, being in New York City at the time, we were on lockdown. I know exactly what it feels like to go into a store and see the shelves empty, and it's really scary. But the media, the politicians, left and right, we all banded together. And at the time, we really didn't have social media. So I'm watching this from a very PR mind, watching what's happening, what I feel need to happen. And I'm pretty happy with what's happened this week. Just to get your feeling.
Yeah.
Have you been pretty happy?
Yeah, you know, responded? I have been. I'm proud that people set aside their differences. It does, in a way, remind me of that baseball game that I attended right after 9/11. You know, go to a game, we had season tickets, and, you know, the singer usually sang the national anthem. Everybody stood, and that was that. Well, on that game, 45,000 people stood, and we all sang the national anthem, and that was just a very moving moment. You just looked around and realized, okay, we actually collectively get it. We're the same. Forget the differences. We're the same, and that's kind of where we're at right now. We're in an emergency situation, and the best thing we can do is think about taking care of our loved ones and realize that other people have to do the same.
Yeah, it's changing so quickly. I'm in Florida. We canceled our Florida boot camp. We made a decision last Saturday. I was on the phone calling everybody to make sure that they didn't hop on the plane and get over here. I knew that they would get out. My fear was that they were not going to be able to get back, and the experience here in Florida would be poor. And it is. They're still in high season. You've probably seen them this week, Florida getting a lot of flack for spring break partying on the beaches. Yesterday, they finally started locking down the beaches. So I'm very lonely at the hotel, but very glad I don't have a lot of investors to take care of while I'm here. And so far, I think I'm going to be able to get back. I was actually hoping for a national quarantine. I feel like the next week or so, the numbers are going to be really bad. The testing has got to catch up, and those numbers are going to be very scary and surprise people. I'm not personally worried about the virus. I'm worried about the economic fallout. So I don't know how you're feeling about that.
There's a lot of background noise, just so you know, Aaron.
Okay.
The economic fallout, like you just said, you're alone in a hotel. Just think about all these industries that are, okay, there's no one at a movie today. So life for the next 60 days, as we know it, is basically going to stop. And it's just, we've not faced anything like this. This is like a combination of having a hurricane, in the sense that you can see and a stock market crash, but now you have to stay at home and you probably can't go to work. So all of these things are, everybody's going to get affected. I mean, I'd rather tell you the truth. I'd rather own the asset class that we own because I can see that things will kind of stay in place and stall. But the stock market, you can see every second, when it goes up and down. So it's down some 35%, silver down 35%. I don't see that happening unless somebody just, you know what, and that they're already preventing that by saying, okay, you can't foreclose. Bank of America came out and said, we're basically going to shine on the payments. And so all of a sudden, this is getting a little safer because it seems like it's a team effort across the board. So that's an important thing.
Yeah, right out of the gate, man. Round one, I think that there's going to be at least a few more of these rounds of support. So I was really pleased to see them not go back home. Congress did not take a break, and they've committed to getting these rounds of things put out. So I was really happy to see that happen. So yeah, I'm excited. Trying to think where to go from here.
There's just a sequence, that when it happened, I guess I didn't really take it seriously until honestly they closed Italy. That caught my attention. And then, of course, all the sports. So you start realizing all these things are happening. This is the first time in my life any of these has happened. And then Warren Buffett comes out and says, yeah, I guess I had to wait 89 years to see this. So that's a big statement coming from a guy like him. Then we do the radio interview with Ralph Paul. And he uses that word depression, and that's kind of why I asked what I asked. Is that a word you've ever uttered in all the years you've done this? And he said, no, that was meaningful. Muhammad El-Erian just used the word depression yesterday. So this is serious stuff, and we're getting on to what we need to get on. We're trying to mitigate the damage and also the health risks. So that's why this is necessary. If we lock down really well for 60 days, we're probably on the other side of the curve of death and new cases. If we don't, man, this is a much longer deal.
Yeah, and the other exciting thing is that within the last 24 hours, that it looks like there's been several different moves made for treatment, a vaccine. They're running full steam ahead on several different paths to try to mitigate the virus. So it's just great news. I'm always a glass half full guy. So I'm really excited for Main Street in particular. So we got news this week that Redfin and Opendoor are out. We're hearing from people that don't usually use us for hard money. So when I had a conversation last year with one of these Wall Street hard money lenders that quit one of the Wall Street hard money lenders and came to us and wanted to buy our paper, and the strategy was, okay, if you originated at nine, I'll take it down at a seven. We're taking on Wall Street style leverage. We're packaging it up and selling it as bond rated paper to pensions. I was like, are you kidding me? Bond rated, how is possible? And so you've got these Wall Street companies that are very reliant on these lines of credit. Will that disappear?
Oh, it yeah, they definitely could. That's why the Fed is, preparing to do, or if already in place, well over $1 trillion to back business bonds, and so they may be the buyer. Instead, that's like the buyer of last resort. That's what's been going on in the repo market is that you come there with your assets, expect the buyer to take it for, a very short period of time, and that buyer has been stalling or not wanting it. And so now you have the Fed stepping up and becoming the end of that trade. So this is definitely a very unique time. I want to say, what we're able to do with vaccines and all, this is like, so China got a big deal of credit for, okay, we're going to build a hospital in 10 days. Okay, basically because they're just able to do something without permits and, they can just push it to the end. Well, I like the fact that we're taking this on the medical side. So I'm sure there's usually a progression of going through, and this takes a year and a half. Well, this can't take a year and a half, and we know it.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've got a lot of smart people that can work on this simultaneously. So that is encouraging because you do see, okay, we're working on not only things that are when you take it, it prevents it, but also you already have it, but here's something that mitigates it. So that's exciting to see that all the brains in our world are basically working really hard at this.
And then for the Main Street investors and realtors, I think this is where we get to shine. As these Wall Street companies sort of pull the plug on operating in the markets, they disappear as competition. And I don't know yet if they're going to decide to come back. This is may forever change their business model. And I was already very excited about certain realtor brands like Keller Williams. I think Compass was doing it. I just think that those local boots on the ground would be so important anyway. Because context and flavor of a local market is just really difficult to replicate with artificial intelligence, and it's just not there yet. So I think investors, realtors, you're going to have a unique opportunity to shine. I created a video on Monday that I think some people thought might have been a little bit early. I'm seeing people do some really stupid things with marketing. Now's just the time to take a step back and realize that some people are taking this really seriously. All of us have never been through this before, and dealing with, being scared if you're going to be able to get food or not. It's jarring. I already have friends posting online like, hey, I just got told to come in and pick up my last paycheck. So let's talk about the different facets of the business and sort of how you're feeling. So the flipping business, what do you think that's going to look like in California, maybe for the next foreseeable future?
Well, I mean, having flipped a ton of properties, you don't expect income from it until the end. So that's not a surprise. So there's really no, usually you're not taking on debt that you can't support. So far as the borrower side, that's not a shock to their system. What might be a shock to their system is you're probably going to have very little to no progress on repairs. You probably have a pool of buyers that are frozen for a while. So, I mean, it basically just probably tacked on 2 months to your cycle at best.
Okay.
So that's
a long timeline.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You're just going to maybe, if you're a real estate investor, just include some extra time in your calculations.
Yeah, you just have to realize that the buyer right now is got like the deer in the headlights, and you can understand why. It doesn't mean nothing will sell, but it means, well, first of all, we're not even supposed to be out showing houses. So, yeah, this is just a once in a lifetime event. So, if you own stuff with debt on it and you are capable of making your payments, I would encourage you to do that. If it's something that you say, and I've been there, where you go, okay, well, I got six things in escrow and six things fall out on a small flipper, that could be an impactful thing. So they're in, where I think where the NARS group can play a role in that is actually have that conversation. So if that's going to be an issue, you got to call us and let us know. We'll call the borrower, and I'm sorry, the lender side, and just have a reasonable conclusion. I mean, it's kind of like we're in this together.
Yep.
It's a once in a lifetime event on both sides of the table. We have great lenders that understand the business and have been through tough things before with us in 2008 and 9, and we all survived that and did fine. And borrower side, I was able to go back and with you, Aaron, we went to present in Washington, D.C. Remember, we had that little circle with, this is probably 2009 or 2010, and our current ratio as far as payments being made on a hard money loan with an interest rate over 10%, it was 99% plus current. And we're talking about to Fannie Mae, who had way many times more delinquencies on their A paper. And that was, we were having a discussion about, make more loans to investors. So we have a great pool of honorable investors that make payments, and a great pool of people that put up money and understand that when this kind of thing happens, I think we're going to be reasonable with each other, and I'm going to encourage it if I get in the middle of it, I can tell you that.
No, I think that's where we're going to get a time to shine as well. We are still lending in California and Florida. Florida's been interesting. When I got in, I started, I happened to have a meeting with the Economic Development Agency in an area that we're building. That was a great meeting. They put it together with the planning department, building department, economic development, and neighborhood. So there was four leads from the city there, and they were discussing a lockdown, but it is their absolute goal to try to definitely keep the wheels turning when it comes to development. So it is a priority category for them. It's nice to just at least to hear that. The other thing that was interesting is hearing that this is their seasonal time. March is typically spring break here. It's their busiest month. People are leaving early. One of the things that realtors are experiencing, however, is on their way out, people are writing offers on homes. And this is a theory. We'll have to wait to see what's tested. So they get a lot of visitors from the Midwest as well as the East Coast. And I'm wondering if they're sort of sitting back saying, you know what, it's time. It's been a good run in these states. It's just too expensive. I need to rethink retirement. So it's going to be very interesting to see if Florida remains to be the number one in that domestic and the number two in immigration nationwide. And if that doesn't actually accelerate because of this event. Any thoughts on that?
I think, well, John Burns, he had a report that he had put together for this virus, and people who subscribe to his newsletter, or maybe it's a special service. But one of the charts he had was the sales of new homes in Florida year over year were up like over 50%, and that was right before this happened. So right before all this stuff hit the fan, Florida was selling a lot of new homes, even compared to last year. I'm not sure exactly why that is, but it was a stark difference. So Florida has a lot of migration. We've kind of covered that. They've got a lot of migration of adults that have to have a rental, or they're going to buy something because it's reasonable. I mean, you're talking about, we're building houses that are worth 230, that you put the 3% mortgage rate on that, that's a pretty amazing payment.
I guess I want to cover two things when it comes to flipping. So I think the opportunity might come. We often talk about in the flipping space as far as death, disease, and divorce. And this is a really interesting play. You might be dealing with as a local real estate investor with all three of those categories at one time in some of this stuff. So I just ask everyone to be very sensitive to that. Please don't send weird marketing to people about coronavirus. Just as far as the Wall Street versus Main Street, I think it's going to be a really neat time. But let's go to tenants, toilets, and trash. Let's go to the three T's and talk about the impacts on maybe rentals and rents. The state of California has already been talking about, I think it's already in place, an eviction moratorium. They on the resources website, I've got some tools for you as a landlord to be communicating with your tenant. You better really be careful what you say and don't say to put yourself at risk. Just be very careful. But any ideas on maybe tenants and rentals in the foreseeable future for California?
Yeah, I mean, you and I both have them, and the difference between probably us and them is they might be one eviction away from being homeless. So, it's a lot of us have spent our life doing math and calculating our cash flow and our net worth and all that. The next 60 days or so isn't the time to do that. Just isn't. So, yeah, I think laws are going to come in place where you can't evict people. I think, I just had a really happy surprise. I mean, we were still considering to going to Maui, and about 3 days ago, I just decided, yeah, that just doesn't make any sense. So I called up. Now, I was supposed to show up tomorrow, or no, Sunday. So, I mean, with 5 days' notice, I said, I can't come. So whoever owns that condo obviously isn't going to get that revenue. It's an oceanfront condo, and it's not inexpensive. And without batting an eye, I was asked. Now, property manager obviously was involved in it, and they already knew what the response was. Are you wanting it for another time? I said, yeah, we've already checked our schedule. We can do it in November, and without charging me a dime, because it was all prepaid. They just prepaid the November one, so that guy's out a chunk of dough. He didn't have to legally do that, I don't think.
No.
And I wouldn't have been shocked if he did it. I just understood it, but he didn't do that, and it just made me, it, I don't know, to be honest with you, I'll rent that guy's condo till I'm not here,
Yeah, it's kind
because and so people are going to have a really good memory of how they're treated right now. They really will. You
Yeah.
want a great set of tenants, treat them honorably in the next 60 days. They will not forget it.
Agreed. And so I think Mike told me one time, people won't always remember what you say, but they'll remember how you make them feel. Now's a good time for the good feels part. Agreed. So I'm reaching out to all of my property managers, setting the expectation on that. I'll reach out to the tenants that I still individually manage today and ask how they're doing, where they're at. I'm glad I did some 1031 exchanging. My tenants in Florida are very different caliber wise than what they've been in California. So I'm glad I've diversified
You
a bit.
know, that's interesting because I guess I hadn't really thought this one out, but in Leesburg, I think 90% of my tenants are nurses.
Yeah, we had a conversation on the Florida boot camp call yesterday, and we talked about that. I talked to Joanna. I'm like, hey, please reach out to clients. And she did. She sent an email. The majority of them are attached to they're getting government retirement income, or they're in the healthcare industry or military. So she really didn't have a lot of worries. But, as a landlord, you just sort of have to prepare and sort of map out how you're going to deal with the fallout and the ramifications. And on one of the resources that I'm pointing investors to, because oftentimes you don't live in the county where you are investing. Anywhere you're at, just go to Google and type in 211 and then the county. That is going to be your local health and human services hotline. It's sort of in times of emergency, it is the backup to 911. I happen to be the board chair of the one in Riverside County. Please don't call. They do have operators that can speak several different languages, and ours in Riverside at least has access to a language bank with over 100 different languages. But in Riverside County, we have over 100 health and human services, government, nonprofit resources for people. And the goal is to always give people the local resources as close to them as possible. So it's just a really cool resource, but they have a database. So if you're talking to a tenant and they're struggling with something, maybe you can do a little bit of legwork and homework close to the property and find some resources to give them and just be a real asset to your tenant. It's just a good resource. All that stuff is online as well on that thenorrisgroup.com/resource page. It's towards the bottom. I have listed up top the national resources, the state resources right below that, and then below that a little bit of local stuff. Because when it comes to the school districts and health departments, those are countywide, and just need to do some homework and plug in quickly to those and ex find out exactly where the media is getting their sources so you can forward to tenants that instead of allowing the message to be couched through some kind of media. So I still am a little bit disappointed in some of the headlines that I see the media play into. I get it, it's the game, but I don't want to scare my tenants more than need be. So enough of that.
Absolutely.
We got some people on the line. If please ask some questions. As we round this out for the foreseeable future, this is for what sort of what we'll try to do on Fridays around this time. It allows us enough time to Friday is a good date. We'll have all the updated information, and then we'll be able to put the information out on the podcast with a day turnaround time for the weekend. California versus Florida. Are you still believing dead in sort of that move right now?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that. This is an emergency situation, so I can tell you one thing about Florida, Floridians. Every year they have a chance of a hurricane. They know how to hunker down. They do. They're prepared. My buddy Alex, I mean, he's got a generator and a food supply and all that, and he is not unusual. So Floridians know how to isolate. Sometimes by they're forced to. Because there's no road, if you have a bad hurricane, you have road problems and all that stuff. So this is not unusual for them. I think it corrects itself very quickly after, and I really think this is nationally. I think we're going to go through a very tough 60 to 90 days. If we do this correctly, we'll be on the other side of it, and I think both states will be fine. I just prefer Florida is a landing place. There is no doubt in my mind that honestly, in the next 10 years, Florida will be the number one destination of adults migrating, and California will be, it literally have no gain from migration of adults.
Mm.
So that's, when you get serious about the math, that's why I'm there. I'm there because who's going there are people with wealth that are older, and so they just require services, and it requires more migration of healthcare workers and all that. So I'll just say this. So 20% of Florida is over 65. Are they in more danger than percentage-wise in California? Yes. So that's the one thing that you have to think about in the next 60 days, 90 days, making sure that those people take care of themselves and stay as much as they can on their own. A lot of mobile home parks, I mean, you're isolated in a sense that you're in your own residence. So I don't know. We'll see. But
okay.
As far as my decision, if I had to, let's say I had a choice, I had a free ride for 24 hours, I could exchange all my stuff in Florida and go back to California. No way.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, we've been having conversations for several weeks as soon as this started with our builder, you know, being exposed to things like supply chain. Where do you get your, you know, really thinking through the entire process, like where would we get stuck? So we're doing some really complicated 1031 exchanges. So one of my first questions, I'm like, do you buy supplies from China? He's like, actually, no. Because of the tariff wars, they had really switched over and always sort of tried to buy American where they could anyway. And they have extremely limited exposure. I guess they buy one light fixture that can be easily changed out, which is really, really good to hear. The next one is 1031 exchanges. The IRS has yet to extend that. I think it's just a matter of time, but that's good to know, for us to know as a company, as we're quarterbacking these transactions, we're pretending that that's not going to change, and we're documenting everything as we go along. So as of now, Florida is not shut down. As far as caseload, they're a couple weeks behind where California is, but I think that's going to change pretty quickly. So anyway, just
By the way, I don't have any doubt that a 1031 exchange extension would apply in this circumstance, whether it comes from an edict for national, or you just have a transaction that's obvious. Okay, here's where the go, like California just got told to go home.
Yeah,
I just had an arm wrestling match this morning with a guy that was supposed to show up, do work at my house. So, I mean, the electricians are going home. And part of it could be their supplier just shut down. So where are you going to get that conduit? You're not.
Right.
So anyway, you just have to be patient as far as that. But as far as 1031 exchanges, I don't think you need a national proclamation. I think you can, what Aaron just said, I document your particular case, and all of a sudden there's a 60-day stoppage for this stuff. I don't think anybody's going to say, oh no, we're gonna penalize you. That would make no sense to me at all.
Correct. Yeah, they've already extended the tax deadline to I think it's July 15th, 2020. All that information is on the resources page. If people have questions, we're sort of rounding this out. I've got one, but sometimes I get asked what tools we use. We've gone very digital over the last 5 years, sort of. That's been part of my job, is preparing for, you know, weird things. We use Jive VoIP, which has been awesome. Our team has already gone remote. We are planning on doing it next Monday, just as a test anyway. That makes it really easy, and they've been a great company to work with. As far as office tools, we're on Office 365. That's been one of my favorite resources as a small business. For those in the real estate industry, just be very aware, when you have your teams logging in through computers where they're not remoting into your office, you lose control. If they're using their own personal laptops and they're opening up their email and there's financial data, just be extra cautious and really think through if they are handling personal information from clients. I don't even like our team using their cell phones, to be honest with you. I don't want them to have that exposure, and I don't want it as a company. So whenever possible, we're remoting in to our office, because they are then technically behind the firewall of the Norris Group and all the different things that we've put in place. We have a great technology team that we've outsourced to. They've been incredible, but if you ever need any help sort of with tools, you can always email me, and I'll help you nerd out on that. We've got one question. Are there any particular areas in Florida that you like better than any others, or places you would stay away from?
In Florida, there's a fair amount of remote towns. So, and I just would not do that. I don't have to be in Orlando and Tampa. How we chose the areas we chose is that if you ask questions about like number one migration of businesses or people or places to retire, Florida has a great majority of them, and our area is one of the dominant areas and the highest numbers, one and two in a lot of those categories. So that's how we chose there because I'm looking at keeping mine for a long time. So I would like to go where the growth is going to continue and accelerate. And so that's how we chose. I'm not an expert on Florida, so I can't even imagine, like if you flew into California, how long would it take you to know the difference between Riverside and Rubidoux or Riverside and Orange County and in Orange County, Stanton? And, there's just a lot of nuances there. Fortunately, that's why we're locked into a team that knows that like the back of their hand. That's important.
That would be my recommendation as somebody who's not transaction oriented also and who is relationship oriented. We've definitely had that experience here in Florida with both, and it makes a big difference when you can trust the person on the other side and have a conversation about your overall strategy and what you're trying to accomplish. It's the difference between them trying to send you into a very rough, lower socioeconomic area where the cash flow is great. That's what they hear you say, but what you're really wanting to do is talk about safe, boring, moving money long term in an area that has potential. If you don't phrase it right, or they don't want to tell you that, they're going to send you something you might not want. So yeah, just be careful going into the areas. There's plenty of great spots in Florida, but just make sure you get a good team. Thank you, Michael. Got another possible question. We read that the county of LA includes residential construction as an essential business, so we are continuing to move projects forward. I don't disagree. I think there might be some confusion. This only the shutdown only happened at the after work hours, so I'm sure everyone's scrambling today. And for I think there was a sense of complacency in California. People just didn't realize how seriously that they were going to do this, and there wasn't a whole lot of notice that this was going to happen. So lots of confusion today. Next week we'll have some more clarity, and then I think they're going to refine what the essential businesses are going to be. And it's clear that they don't want those economic engines to stop. So I definitely agree. Construction is going to be a priority. Which recession had high unemployment but medium home price didn't go down, plus a speedy recovery of economy? Is it possible? Thank you, Linsky.
In the 80s, you had a crazy bunch of bad charts, and prices of real estate didn't go down. That was, 80, 81, where interest rates went to crazy numbers, 15, 17%. This is an interesting, we haven't had this one in our lifetime. This is, if we reach Great Depression levels of losses, let's say, and I failed to ask that question to Ralph Paul, and I wish I could go back and do that because he used a word that he's never used in his whole career. But I think if I had a chance to ask him again, I think he will look at, say, a stock market loss between 60 and 80% of being a depression. Well, you may get into that range, but you may also blow out of it 6 months later and be up quite a bit. So this is different because this is really a cessation of everything that we do for what could be a short period of time. If this extends past 6 months, then I don't have a, I, you know, like somebody said, introduced me yesterday on a phone call talking about I'm really good at charts. Well, this is sort of off the charts. I don't have a chart for this one. We don't have a blueprint of go home and stay there for as long as we tell you. So I can't, I think if there's a shorter, the better. And I think what we're doing allows it to be shorter. If we just do our normal lives, it looks like this could affect high percentages of every population of every country. So we're doing what we need to do. So man, I'd rather hurt in place for 60 to 90 days and get through it than make it last for a long period of time and have really bad effects. So I think we're being asked to do what's intelligent.
And I hope people listen. Maybe it just wasn't clear how urgent it was. And again, we just, I think it's going to, the next week, I was hoping it was going to be sooner, but I just don't think that they've been able to catch up with the testing. So the headlines are just going to be ugly for the next week or so until they can finally catch up and really get the understanding of the scope. So I am so glad they're doing this. I think it's going to help a great deal, at least slow it down and the curve go down. So in 2017, you wrote 2% mortgages, $40 trillion in debt, another surprise ending. So last month, we got the 2% mark. Yesterday, the Treasury yield for the three-month Treasury actually went negative. So I think people are disappointed because I know I'm in the middle of a mortgage transaction and my rate actually went up because I was not logged in. The lenders are basically saying, holy cow, hold on, we can't keep up. And the markets are just in a little bit of a terror. I think that'll free up. But the $40 trillion in debt, you know, looks like this could be ticking pretty quickly as far as the response. This first round is, you know, over $1 trillion. I mean, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, it's sort of like I don't want to do any victory laps on the back of this. I really don't.
I know. I just, it's really,
you know, what this is about is looking at economic damage. So the projection was always that inside of that 10-year period, we'd have two recessions. So we're going to have a very large recession with a very large debt. So the fact that that'll turn out to be close doesn't make me happy. None of that prediction was about being happy, that's for sure, and not this way either, you know. So, but it's a reality. We're going to step up and do whatever. And by the way, I think that mortgage rate, there's no reason for it to be this high. There's no reason for it to be over 3%. It should be between 2.5% and 3%. I have a feeling, I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now, but I think the Fed is going to step in and allow for that market to be freed up and for rates to go back down. There's no reason for you to have something 4% or 5% right now. Completely, completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things they could do to help this next question. Vicky's asking, is this going to cause real estate values to plummet, especially in California?
No. What causes real estate to plummet is a massive percentage of foreclosures participating in the sales. Well, you just know that's not going to happen. First of all, they just did a moratorium on foreclosures. Bank of America said you can skip your payment in certain circumstances. So there's no way a foreclosure process is going to race through and create a bunch of inventory for sale in the time frame that we probably have. I think what happens is if you look at sales, they're going to fall off the cliff. The sales that happen maybe were urgent sales, or maybe it was a necessary sale. I've been there where I'm thinking, okay, is it worth me selling at a loss or break even or whatever to get liquidity in my particular situation right now? If the answer is yes, then I wouldn't look back. I'd do it. So that's where our business is actually going to be helping people. So if you buy a house at a 30% discount and somebody's owned it for 30 years and it's gone up, you know, 800%, I can't feel bad about that at all. I think that's a service. So I think that side of the business actually will have maybe a leg up, that we will buy more wholesale deals, providing a service for people that can't get liquidity like they normally would. So I think the buying side probably would go up. That would make perfect sense to me. But unfortunately for the stocks, you know, you sit there and you can look at the damage by the minute, and real estate, it'll be much slower moving. And because we don't have foreclosures, you'd have to have individual decisions in mass to discount stuff. I don't think that's going to happen, but sales are going to slow to a crawl. And I think anybody that doesn't have to make a decision will just wait. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me.
Actually, this might go a little longer than expected, but some really, really good, thoughtful questions. Julio is asking, you know, he's got some opportunities for three different flips, and there's a few really good questions that he has in this. What concern would you have with people getting hard money from lenders? I would say right now it really depends on how the lenders are structured. You know, we remain one of the only lenders around that does whole note investing, and we only work with one lender at a time typically when we're creating a note. If some lenders were brokering and they were relying on some of these Wall Street lenders and they were relying on lines of credit, they might cease. So if you're not working with a local expert hard money lender that knows the market, knows, you know, has a little bit more control in it, can be honest with you about expected closing times, LTVs, things like that, you're probably going to run into some issues, and I would hate to see people get ghosted. So just be aware that's a reality, and it's something that you really have to be careful with. If you were doing a flip dad, the question was, what are some of the strategies to sell quickly in this market?
I don't think there is one.
Nope.
You no, I mean, when you want to sell quickly, I guess you would lower your price and sell it like a wholesale number to somebody. I don't know that I would intentionally put myself in that position. If you're in that position, then fine, chase liquidity with one house to make your whole package of home safer. That's fine. But you know, could you try some strategies like, okay, let's pay the sales agent 6%, or you know, you could rip up all those things. I don't think you're going to get the majority of people to act right now. We're just looking at this. We're frozen. We can't even, I mean, think about, okay, let's watch a ball. Oh, we can't. Let's go get, oh, we can't. That makes sense to me that people are just frozen. So don't expect to get full retail if you also have a time frame attached to it, like I have to sell it. That's just probably not going to happen.
Maybe not go into transactions. Number one, you just be don't go into transaction. You don't have a plan B. If you can't turn it into a rental, maybe think about a co-living strategy,
See,
rented by room, about nurses, furnishing it. Like, definitely create a plan B.
and you have when you go into stuff, that's one of the things we have talked about over the last couple of years is when you're doing the property flips, man, only get into projects that have an exit that's other than, you know, having to sell it. Have at least a survivability process where, you know, if you have to rent it or whatever, be in a price range that's bearable too. So if you have to hold something for a while.
You know, the high-end market has already been struggling with this as far as, you know, the months on market was lingering as is. I'm trying to think in my mind if, you know, some of the wealthy in America are going to actually dive into real estate to park some cash, because maybe they view it as a safer place than stocks. But I don't know. Do any
Well,
thought?
I can tell you, yeah, I do have a thought on that. There's, you know, for years there's been a play of bond yields going low, and if you know how to play that, it's very profitable because you're tying up something at 3% that goes down to 2%. Well, there's a spread there, obviously, that you can make a profit on, and that's what they do. Well, now it's basically zero. That's done. So all of these bondholders, that game is pretty done. I think a lot of that money will go into real estate because that is an asset that pays a return.
Michael's asking, do you think more banks will defer mortgage payments? I definitely do, and you're going to have to watch the state as well. So during Dodd-Frank, they released that, so we had some federal guidelines, but then the state of California said, eh, not good enough. So SB 978 came out, and for us hard money lenders, it added a whole layer on top of it. So yeah, just be careful and watch both the Fed and the state conversation. Watch the difference between the FHA and the GSE products, as well as the private side. Dad, do you have any thought on that? Like, if you're working with a private lender, that the mortgage insurance, like, I don't know, can the state come down and force the same protocols on them that they do the GSEs?
Well, I think simultaneous to anything they dream up is they're also saying, okay, I mean, you and I looked at something where they were talking about giving $2,000 a month to each adult and $1,000 to each child in a family. So they could, in fact, make their obligation. So you're going to have both sides going on. You're going to have a lender rule saying, okay, you can't foreclose, but you're going to be quite possibly handing pretty substantial money to families to where they can make their bills. So I think we just have to be patient and wait, and this will play out. I don't think you're talking a year for this to get better. You know, I think we're talking about 60 to 90 days before at least we can see the light at the end of the tunnel and head in the right direction.
Agreed. Okay. Another question. As a rental property owners, how should we respond to tenants saying they can't make rent while we have loan payments to make?
Yeah, that's a real issue. So how do you respond? I mean, again, if it's somebody that you rented directly, I mean, let's have an honest conversation. If they're getting compensation from the federal government, that should allow you to be paid. I mean, you ought to have an honest conversation and say that's not an unfair expectation. You're not going to be able to evict somebody. So you need to be reasonable. That's just the truth. We're all going to have to say, okay, we have to look at this as a team. You really are. And if you try to throw your weight around, it's not only going to be resented, it's not going to work out well. So I don't know what to tell you. This is a once in a lifetime thing. Who thought that this would occur? But again, you might have moratorium on your payments.
Mm-hmm.
So that might, in fact, it just work. Okay, wouldn't that work? Put the pause button. What if it's a 90-day pause? You don't have to pay rent, but I don't have to pay payment.
Yep.
That would work.
Yeah, that was actually the next question from Linska. Would we as a hard money lender follow B of A by adding payments to the close of escrow?
Yeah, that would, to me, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Most of the hard money loans are usually on flips. And so, you know, that would make perfect sense that we're just forbear the monthly payment until that can be continued and stick it on the other end and call it a day.
Yeah, Linska, we've already been looking at that with our technology provider if that needs to come up. But, you know, my expectation is the golden rule. If you can, you should, you know, keep going. On the other end, we're not working with a line of credit. We have real estate, you know, lenders that some of them are relying on this income as well. So if you can, you should. And if our borrowers need help, you know, give us a call early and let us know what's going on. Avoid ACH late payments. Yeah. Everyone just needs to be engaged and flexible. So makes total sense. All right. I think we're winding down on questions. Any final thoughts, Pops?
You know, I guess I just want to put out there, we're going to get through this, and we can get through it really well by thinking about working together as a team and what Aaron said in the beginning, I think people are looking at, okay, I'm an American more than I am a Democrat or Republican, and we're kind of getting that feeling back. You know, we always need something like a war. This is a war. John Malden is somebody that I respect, and he had a newsletter yesterday, and he said, we're not really just fighting a virus. This is a war. And he said, can't just think outside of the box. We have to get out. This isn't even a normal box. And it's true. So this is a once in a lifetime event. And I, for one, want to be proud of how we treated the people in our circle when it's all said and done.
Yeah. You find out pretty quick who you'll never work again with after the fact too. So you find out exactly who people are in this process.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll have a good memory on what happens in the next 90 days.
I've got a CRM system, so our entire team knows too. Just kidding. I'm kidding, but not kidding. you know, we'll just plan on doing this on Friday mornings. We'll try to keep doing this. If you've got extra resources that should end up on the resources page, just email info@thenorrisgroup.com, and in the subject line, put a resource for Aaron, and we'll take a look. If it's not already on there, we can add it. With that, everybody, just stay safe, and looking forward to talking to you next week. We are working on a real estate investor town hall coming up. It's the second Monday of April. We're going to try to coordinate a very large interview that'll feature Keystone CPA with an update of where we're at in a couple weeks. I think it'll be appropriate by then. It'll feature different real estate investor club friends from all over the state of California, from Northern California and Sacramento. San Diego, Orange County, LA, to sort of see and talk about how the different cities are reacting. So you've got the national, you've got the state, and then you also have the local response. It'll be really interesting, and we'll be able to dive in a little bit deeper as far as sales and time on market and things like that, and we'll have a better idea of what that looks like in April. So hopefully we're a good resource for you guys. If we can do anything different, just shoot me an email. Be glad to help out where we can, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Have a great day.
All right, Dad. Have fun. Hopefully I'll make it home on Friday. I'm Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll see you later.
All right, guys. Everybody have a good rest of the day. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.